it's only 11 million, 52 million, 200 million. It hardly amounts to Seattle spirit, right, Jenny? Right? Mayor? Mayor?
This city is under a lot of duress right now. If there were easy solutions, Seattle probably would not have elected a woman mayor. Seattle's a hard place to live.
We can't act, and we should act.
Yeah, someone should do something, Michael. Someone should really do something. So you saw the news about the trolley car. It broke when we were on the air yesterday. Seattle Times has this story. $52 million on 10 choo-choo train trolley cars that are too big for the tracks in all likelihood, too heavy for the tracks in all likelihood. Oh, and by the way, they will not fit in the garage for the choo-choo train. 10 useless streetcars on the way to a useless city. If this happened in the private world, if this happened in private industry, if you had a studio built and then tried to walk into it and there was no door, you couldn't get into it, what happens?
What happens?
What happens?
I don't know. You
move along?
No, the point is you give it back. You take it back. I mean, I know with blinds.com, if you measure wrong, they'll remake the blinds for free. That's part of the tagline. But how can you spend $52 million on a bunch of streetcars and not have the right to return them if they don't work?
Well, how can you not measure them right in the first place?
Well, that's the most astonishing thing. And measure the right to fit in the garage.
Right. And now, this is not just the 5,200 million.
I don't think they don't have enough bureaucrats working on this. No, that was the problem. They were, because things were such a lean, mean, efficient fighting machine.
Right. Well, they don't have enough bureaucrats for that, but they're hiring bureaucrats now to enforce the new nanny law, which we need to talk about, the new home health care worker law.
I just had a concern. Do you think the new tunnel, when it opens up in 2043, is going to be able to accommodate cars?
Well, I'll tell you this. It's not going to, I'm going to tell you, this is going to be a catastrophe, Michael, because they say they're going to open this in November. If that's the case, Michael, there are people who are going to pay the toll to drive through that tunnel, and they will not know they cannot get to downtown Seattle. Watch. I'm going to be proven right. There are going to be people getting into that tunnel thinking they're going to drive into downtown.
Never get out? Where do they go?
No, there's no downtown exits, no downtown entrances. It takes you to the base of Queen Anne Hill. You cannot get to downtown Seattle in the tunnel. And you know what doesn't fit in that tunnel? The ship, the trucks that transport the fish from the commercial fishing industry, the airplane trucks don't fit in there. None of those trucks fit in that tunnel. They now have to drive through the U District. So we've got a trolley car that's broken, 10 of the trolley cars that are broken. Jenny Durkin will not release the full KPMG report. She refuses to release the draft report. She's only leaked this portion. Michael, it was enough when this trolley car was slower than walking uphill. You stop it then. But they're still considering this. And now, if you lived in Magnolia and they're telling you, well, we can't afford to build a bridge to your house. You're just going to have to find a way to get there. But we can afford $400, $500 million for a trolley slower than walking that killed a woman in its first few weeks of being active. It is astonishing. I'm telling you, Michael, this is not hyperbolic. They cannot be trusted with money. No one should ever give them money.
Again, how much does it cost for them to just shut down the whole trolley thing?
I mean, at this point, we'd be $300 million in, but it's you're throwing bad money after bad money. There's no reason to keep the thing open.
And again, I'm watching, you know, everybody who lives around here. The two things you notice are homeless people everywhere.
Yeah.
And all of the new construction for the useless light rail, which I think they say it's 2030, it's supposed to start operating in the east side. It's something like that.
Yeah,
I think.
Somewhere around that, if they can get over this fact. They're over budget by 40% on that project. They were over budget before they put a shovel in the ground because of the bridge. They forgot the water sloshed. They thought water only went up and down, not sideways.
Yeah, and they didn't allow for any parking for people at the light rail stations.
Right. They had to redo.
You're supposed to take your bike with your luggage.
Right. They had to redo concrete stands. A listener of mine sent me pictures of the concrete stands that the train will stand on. They were falling off. The concrete was falling off the stands. It was supposed to hold the choo-choo train up. They had to rebuild those. They don't want to disclose the cost on that. And now get this. Again, keep in mind the Magnolia Bridge incident. You heard what the aquarium wants from us? They want $100 million. Now, we have...
I'm sorry. Who wants $100 million?
Seattle Aquarium.
Oh, the aquarium.
They
oh,
want
good.
So we have, as you
now,
said...
better give it to the aquarium than the trolley.
Yeah.
You know, the fish know how to use it.
They want a shark tank. And I've had listeners say, well, can we let the city council people swim in the tank? And I think that's sort of mean. You can't say that. But $100 million, Michael, and we, again, no money for a Magnolia Bridge. We got $200 million for a trolley.
Well, yeah,
we've got
the Magnolia Bridge, you know, they're mostly white people who live up there.
Well, what are you saying? So they can...
And they're rich white people.
Yeah, so they can afford drones to take them home? It's a racial equity thing.
No, no, no. You have your self-driving car that,
but,
I don't
but
know...
But does what? That floats? Also becomes a submarine?
Flies.
Sign me
self,
up.
Self-driving flying car.
Okay, sign me up for that. Then, on the heels of this... you know, the unions...
And, by the way, I walked recently. I walked the Magnolia Bridge.
It's a lovely old bridge. It's falling apart.
It really is. It doesn't look like it's falling apart, but I'll take their word for it when they say it's falling apart. The inability to just fix things before you mess things up more by building stuff we don't need is beyond pathetic.
No, you know what it is? It's permanent adolescence. Let me tell you what we have. We've got con artists and agitators running the city who are getting money from people who are in a state of permanent adolescence. Take Mike O'Brien. Mike O'Brien's a guy who's never had to want for anything in his life. Straight to Duke University after he attended Lakeside High School. So he comes from a rich family. Fine, there's lots of people who do and end up having very good functional lives. Mike O'Brien's not that. He's a guy who's never had to work a day in his life. A guy whose wife apparently used volunteer labor, which is illegal. She sells high-end salt and was using volunteer labor, which is illegal.
Wait, how do you use volunteer
you bring people
labor
in, you bring people
to
in,
sell to make salt?
Well, I think it was a bakery at that time, as I recall. But she was using volunteer labor. Hey, can you help me? I need some help at my business. I'll give you cookies or something. It's an older story, but it's one of the reasons.
Doesn't that beat a minimum wage?
Yeah, it's you can't do it. But Michael Bryan said, oh, my wife didn't know. You have that guy who's running the city along with the Bhagwan Shrill Sawant, and they take money out of the pockets of permanent adolescents.
Can we use volunteer labor to run city services? Can't be worse.
Hey, you know what? I'm telling you right now, flip the city. Get rid of the leadership. And you want to fix Sound Transit, have the engineers run it. Literally, you get Pete Rogoff out of the way, because what would the engineers say? They'd say, no, 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 stop building the rail, build high-speed buses, build these electric buses, these double-decker buses, build bus rapid transit. That's what every engineer would say in the world.
Well, of course. And again, one of the things, and people don't like it because it will mean a lot of drivers out of work, we're coming up to self-driving cars. And you talk about that's 21st century technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do believe that certainly within 10 years, it will be very common and widely accessible and it'll be here. And at that point, what do you do with this $500 billion light rail system that takes forever to build and employs the best cutting edge 1840s technology?
Well, this is why I've described it as a cancer. I really mean this, because once the tracks are laid, we're not going to get rid of the tracks, because then it's going to be about jobs. Well, if we shut down the choo-choo train, then all the people who work on the choo-choo train aren't going to have jobs. And they're going to construct these buildings, Michael, on Northgate. Now, Sound Transit, again, says they have no money to refund this our car tab fees. It would ruin that that criminal syndicate, Sound Transit. But they're giving away land in Northgate. Okay, so they want to give it away for affordable housing. Do you know how long it has to be affordable? If someone builds there, they build a high rise there. Do you know how many years?
100 years or something?
12.
12, okay.
12 years. So they get a tax write-off for 12 years. After 12 years, they can then turn them into luxury condos on top of train stations. Once the train is here, it's never going away.
Yeah, and when you talk about on top of train stations, I was just up at Northgate the other day for a screening. And man, this does not look like light rail. This looked like they built it for the fatso choo-choo train cars that they have for the streetcar. This is it's massive. And I don't know. I mean, the fascination with this is so bizarre. And especially when you look all across the country, they just spent $380 million on the New York subway trying to fix it.
Right.
And it's supposed to be worse.
Yep.
I mean, even the New York Times was going on and on and on about the waste of city money. It's not only us. It's just...
It's a sickness. And do you know Reason.com? They have no dog in the hunt really here, R versus D. They did a study. Do you know that transit ridership, train ridership is down across the board, across the country, except here in Seattle? And you know why?
Because it was at zero before.
Well, and secondly, when they build a train, they cancel the buses.
Right.
So, because that's what Smack Daddy Dow does. You build the train, you cancel the buses.
And they used to have a bus, I think it was a 45 bus or something like that, that you could take to the airport from downtown.
Gone.
And it was faster than the light rail.
Yes.
It was faster to take the damn bus.
They had people living up on Capitol Hill who are probably permanent students, you know, 45-year-olds pursuing their fifth degree, finding themselves. Up on Capitol Hill, they would take an early morning bus. That was canceled. Now they have to get on a train. Many of them have to get now to their classes an hour early because of this stupid train. It's an act of insanity. All right, we'll come back on the Todd Herman Show, get into the national picture of breaking news.
Oh, no.
You're not going to mention that Sacha Cohen Baron thing, are you?
Oh, I think it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah. All right.
I haven't talked about it on my show.
All right, so we'll talk about that. And there's some good breaking news. I always try to come to the table with some good breaking news. Cory Booker is not among the people who are going to bring us good breaking news.
No, his statement is unbelievable. Rachel Maddow humiliated last night.
And Claire McCaskill, she may bring us some amusing news. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Michael Medved in the studio with me. Oh, Michael, from the text line, 800-465-8770. We're just talking about the choo-choo trains or the trolleys that don't fit on the tracks and are too heavy, and $52 million worth of them ordered in this just insane and incompetent
time
city.
For a big yard sale.
Yes.
A trolley yard sale.
Right. We could sell them to San Francisco. Oh, I forgot. Santa Barbara wants to put people in jail for handing out straws.
Really?
And that's the act of a free nation.
Okay,
right?
Yeah, so right. I mean, you spend $52 million on trolleys that don't fit, but at least they're getting rid of straws.
Right.
I mean, that was
right. Yeah, and now Santa Barbara inspired by that, but this is the text I wanted you to hear on our text line 800-465-8770. You'll remember this. Hey, Todd, remember when that bus tunnel, the train tunnel debacle, remember that? They had to dig a couple feet deeper in the tunnel because the train was too tall for the tunnel. He says Seattle Spirit before it was cool. Garrett with one T in Puyallup. Do you remember that?
No.
They let the choo-choo train take over the tunnel, and they kicked all the buses out. Then they figured out that the choo-choo train would not fit in the tunnel.
Oh, the bus tunnel
that
they built under Nordstrom's.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
then they
yeah.
gave it to the choo-choo train, but the choo-choo train wouldn't fit. So they kicked all the buses out of there. They tried to run the trains in there, and they realized the trains didn't fit. This is after they made the decision to kick the buses out.
You know, I think somebody ought to buy Mayor Durkin a tape measure. Because the trains aren't what are they, about 8 feet, something like that?
Yeah.
Wide?
Something like that.
I don't know. I mean, again, it's so incredibly bizarre, because when you think about the levels of bureaucracy and environmental impact statement and all of the approvals they must have had, nobody thought to think what gauge track we're using.
Or does the train fit, and et cetera. I like to make this comparison, because I didn't know it. Someone told me this, and I investigated, and it's true. You know the original tunnel that was dug in through downtown Seattle? There's trains that still go through that, fuel trains. Do you want to know how it was dug?
No.
By hand.
Yeah.
By hand, and it still operates in this city. Probably got done faster than Bertha. Let's check the national scene.
As we speak. The Todd Herman Show is live and local because the power seekers never rest. And political news is breaking as we speak.
You ever met Claire McCaskill?
I have, actually.
Yeah. You find her a warm and gracious human being?
No, she's one of the less pleasant people in the Senate. The one who's really an unpleasant person in that caucus is Dianne Feinstein, who's about to cruise to re-election at age 85. But Dianne is a piece of work, too.
Yeah, Dianne Feinstein, she lost her party's endorsement, right? They tried to go with someone younger?
No, she's not the Democratic candidate. The Democratic candidate is Kevin DeLeon, who is going for the all-important Trotskyite vote.
Yes, and you remember Dianne Feinstein's very, very famous statement that we played from time to time on the show?
If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in, I would have done it.
Talking about, not your straws, but talking about your guns. That was back in the day when they wanted to ban guns, and now it's banning straws. The Ninth Circuit has affirmed that the Second Amendment means you can openly carry a firearm. The Ninth Circuit. How did this happen? You're just about
a
lawyer.
It's a Heller case. It's a Heller case.
Okay,
and,
so
and,
cool.
And again, Heller case is binding precedent. Yeah. And by the way, on this issue, this is the one issue in which not only is Judge Kavanaugh more supportive of the Second Amendment than Justice Kennedy, Judge Kavanaugh is further on that issue than Justice Scalia, who wrote the Heller decision. He is very, very much that the Constitution means what it says about the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Well, that must be why Cory Booker, who I know you've met, actually met him in your studio, had this
yeah.
to say. Cory?
In the moral moment, there is no neutral. In a moral moment, there is no bystanders. You are either complicit in the evil. You are either contributing to the wrong, or you are fighting against it.
This is that's a man
and
talking about
Brett Kavanaugh.
Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
You are complicit in evil if you take Brett Kavanaugh may be the most boring justice ever nominated.
Yeah, I mean, because he's so decent and everybody loves him. And by the way, one of his colleagues, Akhil Amar, who's been on my show a lot, big liberal judicial scholar. He's probably the most influential constitutional scholar in the country today. Akhil has just strongly come out, endorsed Judge Kavanaugh, said, look, there is no possible constitutional reason why any leftist, why anyone should appoint this guy. Amy Chua, who's another faculty member at Yale Law School, has come out and endorsed soon-to-be Justice Kavanaugh. All of his law clerks, and he does something very interesting, because usually, traditionally conservative judges, you pick as clerks people who agree with you. He made a point of trying to pick people who disagreed, who were Democrats, who were from the liberal side, and then taught them his point of view, and some of them he brought over.
I love it.
And
I love that.
This is such a good appointment. I mean, and I think Gorsuch is terrific. Kavanaugh's even better. He is an outstanding human being. And you know what? I think these confirmation hearings, they're going to try to bring up the fact that he was in the Bush administration. He helped the Bush campaign with Bush v. Gore, helped get Bush elected. But it's not going to work.
No, and they're going to do the same thing that they can't help themselves from doing, is going over the top, and they're going to be clown themselves. And now I've seen Democrats in Congress, Michael, serving in Congress, saying, hey, you know what? We are taking way too far of a dive to the left. We have got to slow down. And I mentioned Claire McCaskill at the top of this. I don't think she's a leftist. I just think she's an opportunist and a naked opportunist.
Yeah,
she put out a
machine Democrat.
Yeah, she put out a fundraising email saying that she is alarmed and stunned that the president was holding a fundraiser for her opponent. The entry fee for that? $1,000. $1,000. She held a fundraiser in Beverly Hills, or actually she was brought to a fundraiser. Jeffrey Katzenberg had put this on with his wife. The people who went there to this to support McCaskill 2008, it wasn't $1,000 to get in. $98,000 people paid.
To see Claire McCaskill?
To raise funds for probably not to see her, but to raise funds for Claire McCaskill. I'm sure they were there to see
was
all
she
the...
there?
Yes, she went to this. $98,000.
I would pay $98 not to be at a session with Claire. That's... Are you sure? Jeffrey Katzenberg's a smart guy. He's... Why is he so into Claire McCaskill?
Oh, because, you know, you're either complicit with the evil or you're not, Michael. You know how it goes. That's Cory Booker said you're...
You know, but I'll tell you what, that's an indication. When she's getting that kind of money out of Hollyweird, that's probably an indication that she's not even a chance she'll vote to confirm Kavanaugh. That's the shame right now.
Yeah.
The shame right now is that it's impossible for people who ought to know better to look across the aisle and say, well, you know what? I disagree with you. You're way too conservative for me. But I recognize you're a good guy. You've been a great judge. Everybody who's ever had anything to do with you loves you. The inability to do that. By the way, people did that for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Ruth Bader Ginsburg won 97 votes for confirmation in the Senate. And she had a record as being the chief lawyer for the ACLU.
Yeah, she's
very liberal.
Did you see the film?
By the way, do you know there's a movie coming out about her?
I was going to ask you. You know that film trailer? She's in that film trailer, the actress playing her says...
Felicity Jones.
Yeah, she says the word freedom does not appear in the Constitution. Wasn't there in the Bill of Rights say something about some form of freedom in the First Amendment?
Yeah.
See, I'm not smart like you. I don't have Yale education.
Well, they would say that's Bill of Rights.
I understand the distinction.
But the thing that gets me crazy, I mean, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is many things, and I understand that right now she's considered a national icon, a national treasure.
Well, she's also asleep.
She's 85 years old. So, I'm sure she will enjoy this movie because Felicity Jones, if you know who she is, extremely glamorous. She bears no more resemblance to Ruth Bader Ginsburg than you do to Richard Sherman.
Hey, I'm trying to grow out my hair. I don't know what you're trying to say, but thank you very much for joining us, Michael. MichaelMedved.com contains all the goodies.
You bet. What a pleasure. Good luck. And I can't wait for that movie. That movie is called A Matter of Sex.
Ah, wow. With Ruth Bader Ginsburg, A Matter of Sex, and Stormy Daniels is not in it.
No. Well, maybe. Who knows? I don't know if Karen McDougal's in it.
Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show. Just looking at a piece of breaking news I'm trying to digest. The Mariners may not renew their lease. The Mariners apparently upset that they may not get the $180 million from the taxpayers to keep up their stadium. Now, truth be told, on the record, I have developed a great respect for the Mariners organization because I've seen how they treat our veterans. But also, truth be told, there's no damn reason in the world that anybody in the public should ever fund the Seattle Mariners for anything. Seattle Mariners are doing fine. Seattle Seahawks are doing fine. So we'll get to the details of this. It's starting to unfold from the text line, 800-465-8770. Hey, Todd, light rail. I think your ridership projections are leaving out one group, the homeless. Once the train is up and running, Seattle's homeless will be able to ride the train all day or night for the price of a single ticket. They'll be able to sleep in a climate-controlled environment. The addicts will be able to shoot up, pass out, and soothe themselves in comfort without the worry of harassment from police per local policy. I wonder if, for the $500 billion, we'll get enough train car to house all the homeless. It's a good point. It's a strong point. Robert, thank you very much. On the trolley thing. This idiotic, just incompetent buffoonery of agitators and pretenders in the Seattle City Council buying $52 million in train cars that will not fit on the tracks for the stupid trolley, which is slower than walking even uphill and killed a woman in its first few weeks of operation. That trolley. Seattle should have bought the upgraded warranty on the trains. They could return them. That's a strong point as well. We'll get to more texts as we go on. 800-465-8770. I'm one of the few who still talks about this, and I wonder how fatigued people are by the topic of the so-called transgender stuff and gender dysphoria. I warned early on, and I warned early on to a specific Republican coward named Joe Fain, who folded in the face of the sexual left and said, yeah, you may have a long beard. You may be 6'8". You may have a penis and testicles, but that's okay. You can go soap up and shower next to 14-year-old girls at any gym you like. And Joe Fain, who was afraid to come on this program, deeply afraid, so he posted late at night on Facebook his pretend principles for this. I warned at the time, it's not an issue of peeing or going to the bathroom where they want to go. That's not it. And it's not about people with gender dysphoria. There are people who are confused about their gender. It's a very difficult way to live. It's very painful. They're just folks. Look, and I've you know me. I've suffered depression. At a time, I was suicidal. It actually made the decision to kill myself. I was mentally ill at the time. Right? To have decided to kill myself, I was suffering from a form of mental illness. Now that's never reoccurred for me. Right? I got over that. I've never been in that condition again. So I'm not casting stones. I'm saying, look, it's difficult. You have gender dysphoria, particularly if you're a young person. But my warning was to you. My warning was to Fain. My warning was to professional Republicans. You absolutely no idea what you are partnering with. And I'll give you some examples. There's a piece in The Federalist by a woman named Natasha Sharpe. It is fascinating to watch lesbians and lesbian women and feminist women confronted with full-grown men who are glorifying beating them. But rest assured, These men identify as women. Some of this is absolutely shocking, but I know, because I know women who've been involved in this battle, that this is more common than you want to know. So Natasha Chart writes that women in have raised concerns in meetings across the UK about all this treating men as women. It's almost always that way. How that would affect single-sex accommodations like prisons, domestic violence, refugees. Does it call them refugees from domestic violence? Women-only recreational facilities, homeless shelters, and even the privacy of patients in hospitals. The sexual left, that is the people who are the militant sexual left, who want to force you to pretend that a man is a woman, say that's violence. Hear me. Women saying, I don't want a man in my domestic violence shelter because I'm fleeing the violence of a man. That woman is being violent. Now, okay, well and good. They're misusing a word. That's all right. No. Because what has happened in this society of the sexual left is these people who have advanced states of gender dysphoria. Here's what I mean. They are not interested in changing. They're not interested in getting psychiatric or other help for that. What they're interested in is forcing you to pretend along with them that though they are men, they are women, that you're supposed to pretend they're women. I want to read a couple of tweets, and I could go on for hours with incidents. There's a man named Avery Edison who wants you to believe that he's a woman. He writes on Twitter, trans people using violent language or imagery in response to TERFs, that means trans exclusionary radical feminists. So women who don't want to pretend men are women. That's what that means when you hear TERF. Trans people using violent language or imagery in response to TERF, TERF's rhetoric, is not a threat or an intimidation tactic. It's a reminder to scared trans people that we are strong and we will not allow the hate to overpower us. So the hate that they are talking about here is a woman saying, I don't want to shower with a man. And literally, lesbian women saying, I don't want to date men. I'm a lesbian. This organized group of men who parade around as women, who are not interested in help for gender dysphoria because it's not a condition that needs help in their mind. It is heroic. It is biological. It is organic, even though there's no proof for that. None at all. Here's the follow-up tweet from Avery Addison, or Edison, who presents as a woman but is in fact a man. I'm going to read it two ways. Here's the way he wrote it. Yeah, it's a bit shocking to see trans women carrying bats and wearing shirts with fake turf blood on them. That's the point. It's an extreme but proportionate response to the actual physical harm transphobic people are doing to the trans community. Okay, you heard it that way. Let me read it properly with proper English. Yeah, it's a bit shocking to see men carrying bats and wearing shirts with the fake blood of women on them. But that's the point. It's an extreme but proportionate response to the actual physical harm male phobic people are doing to the gender dysphoric community. What they're saying here is that men parading through the streets with baseball bats and shirts with the fake blood of women on it is proportional to a woman saying, I prefer not to shower next to a man. They are parading through streets, basically threatening to beat women with baseball bats. But they'd never do that, right? This is why I warned the infamous coward, Joe Fain, that he had no bloomin' clue what he was doing. A feminist organization at a small gender-critical women's gathering gathered to talk about violence against women in 2012. They had to move twice because of a bomb threat and other threats. A stalker infiltrated their meeting, scaring a homeless woman who was fleeing domestic violence and attending with an infant. After that, further events the organizer and her friend set up in Portland, Toronto, and London also faced bomb and arson threats. Why? Because of people with gender dysphoria who are being used by the sexual left, the militant sexual left. And I can go case by case through this. I can go through the cases where lesbian women have been pushed out of LGBT events because they said they don't want to have sex with men. So they've been kicked out of the LGBT movement. I could give you this example. The weekend before the London Pride March, a small group of lesbians marched in San Francisco's Dyke March with gender-critical signs. They were assaulted, knocked over, their signs were stolen. The March Committee, the National Center for Lesbian Rights, blamed the women for having been assaulted. A trans-identified male writes on a feminist site that fictional killer Buffalo Bill from The Silence of the Lambs is his auntie and a hero, describing his copycat tattoo. The man had previously written that lesbian attraction to other women is discriminatory. Now, if these were a small group of people, I wouldn't be having this segment. They're not. And they're leading this charge. And they are threatening women with this violence, and they will act on it if they're not able to force the women to pretend that they are also women. Hey, Todd, I have money. I have text line. Hey, Todd, I have money dysphoria. Can I claim to be a millionaire, walk into a bank and tell them to give me my money because I have money in every bank? Richard Brown. Of course you can. You should go do that. Take video and send it to the show, and we'll talk with you just after you get out of jail. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show with just a few more things, a quick arrangement of news-like items laid out into a patent-pending audio feng shui mode. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show. No time to waste. We must jump straight into a little something that we call...
just a few more things.
It's a quick arrangement of news-like items laid out onto a list and then numbered, because if there's no numbers, it's not a list. And don't let anybody tell you differently. I know there's people walking around saying, oh, you don't need numbers to be a list. Well, they'll tell you what. They're fools or they're communists. Or maybe one or the other. First up...
thing one.
So, you heard about vomit fraud, right? You didn't? Well, they have. It's something that's going on in Uber and Lyft cars. Can make your ride expensive.
If you throw up inside an Uber or Lyft ride, you will be charged a cleanup fee on top of your fare. But in some cases nationwide, there are drivers who are taking advantage of the system by using old photos of vomit from inside a car and sending it off to their company, blaming the mess on you.
I see a future for this in Seattle, and it's a way to employ these street people. You know, instead of using those fake photos, because someone could track those down. I mean, you could pay someone to vomit in the car, and they're all around. I don't know what it would take to set that up in Seattle. But you know what? This whole area is sort of fraud-ridden. There's all sorts of different forms of fraud. French sits next up. Just a few more things.
Thing two.
There's kind of this thing of intellectual fraud. CNN. Talking about the president versus Iran. Oh, this is Max Boot, who was an utter irrelevancy at the Washington Post. And he came out and said, I'm not a Republican anymore.
It's quite a pass we've come to when the leadership of a country like Iran seems more stable and rational than the president of the United States.
Yeah, so that's like Max Boot hiring a street person to vomit into his brain. No, the president is not less solid than the leadership of Iran. We have not thrown gay people off of buildings. We have not announced a jihad to wipe the world free of Jews. We have not spent money to foster a civil war in Syria to back up a regime leader who is poisoning children with chemical weapons. Max Boot, intellectual fraud. But there's all sorts of frauds. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing three.
Sometimes there's just general fraud, right? Or a general fraud such as Lizzie Warren, who is not only a fake Indian, she...
I'm a capitalist. Come on. I believe in markets. What I don't believe in is theft.
What I don't believe in is theft. That's why I was so interested in Obamacare that stole the health care plans of 6 million Americans. I'm not interested in theft. That's why I stole the title of first Native American law professor in the history of Harvard. That's the sort of theft I'm interested in. That's a pretty good Lizzie Warren. Give me some credit. I've never done that before. Man, I almost embodied her. Next up, Just a few more things.
Thing four.
Yeah, there's all sorts of fraud, not just vomit fraud and thought fraud and the general fraud of Lizzie Warren. There is a specific fraudster, both criminal and civil. Eric Holder has some news for you.
Are you seriously considering throwing your hat into the ring for 2020?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. And what I've said is that I'd make a determination sometime early next year.
Oh, if he could just go face that criminal contempt of Congress charge back there. Can they still bring that up? Because you know what I'd love to see is I'd love to see that man in a jail cell. Not for the contempt. I mean, that would be fine. But, you know, for arming Mexican narco-terrorists who use those guns to kill a border officer and murder kids at a wedding and such. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing five.
A NBC reporters said this about Sacha Baron Cohen, the guy who's going out and unveiling and showing some really stupid Republicans, like the guy who bared his bare bottom to scare terrorists.
I think he's a genius. I mean, I actually think Sacha Baron Cohen is a genius. And he's exposing people for the truth of who they really are.
Yeah, this would be the same NBC. Speaking of fraud and intellectual fraud and moral fraud, this would be the same NBC. Refused to air the James O'Keefe videos. Same NBC. Who finger waved and pointed. You can't expose Planned Parenthood with hidden video. Why, that's not journalism. It's terrorism. Todd Herman Show will continue. Might we be losing the Mariners? That next.